If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Welcome to Mind Pump, the world's number one ranked fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. We actually got number one in a poll here that we did in our office at Mind Pump headquarters.
Yeah, you used that joke already.
We're the best one. I know. I'll do it again.
It's okay.
All right. So in this episode, we answer fitness and health questions that are asked by listeners and viewers like you. But the way we open the episode is by talking about current events, talk about stuff that's happening in our lives. Sometimes we mention our sponsors. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a breakdown of the entire episode. We talk about Adam's first child scare. That's how we open the episode.
Oh, man.
Freaked him out a little bit. Then we talk about all the stupid things we used to do as teenagers. Not all of them. There's some stuff we don't want to mention on the podcast.
Yeah, not the real bad stuff.
But still stupid stuff. Then we talked about Joe Rogan on Spotify and how some episodes are missing. The conspiracy theorists are buzzing. They're buzzing right now.
Yeah, why is that?
Then we talk about the arrest in Australia. I guess a lady did a post on Facebook that the thought police didn't like, so they arrested her. That's crazy.
Sounds, suspect.
New York is opening up their gyms again. Thank God. About time. I talk about how using a cast iron skillet can actually increase your iron content. So by cooking with it, you get iron in your diet. And during that conversation, I mentioned ButcherBox because they make the best grass-fed meat available. Got tongue-tied there.
Feed my meat.
It's good meat, high quality. It's delivered to your door. They are one of our sponsors. Oh, check this out. You're going to like this. If you go to butcherbox.com/mindpump and use the code mindpump, you'll get ground beef for life, 2 pounds of it, for life. Okay, dang. That's a crazy, crazy giveaway.
I love ButcherBox.
Do it now because it won't last. Then we talk about saving marriages, the stuff that you need to do to save your marriage. Part of that is making peace with the fact that she probably likes the temperature in the bed and the room differently than you do.
You're different people.
Now, one way you can solve this is by getting a chili pad. So what a chili pad is, it's a water-cooled device. It goes on your bed, and you can cool one side of the bed, warm up the other side of the bed. Essentially, temperature controlled. No EMFs. It uses water. And it makes this nice, very low white noise sound that helps you sleep. It's a pretty amazing product. It saved both Adam and Justin's marriage so far.
Shout out Chili Pad.
There you go. And because you listen to Mind Pump, you get a discount. Here's what you do. Go to chilitechnology.com. That's chilitechnology.com/mindpump. Use the code on the page and get 25% off. And then we talk about Adam's new series on Instagram called DILF Wisdom. You heard me right. I said DILF.
Yeah.
Then we answer some questions. All right. Here's the first one. This person wants to know what exercises we recommend for people who are looking to strengthen their joints due to the fact that they've had previous injuries that were related to sprains and aches and stuff around the ankles and the knees. So, like, what are good exercises to recommend? Now, in that portion, we recommend our MAPS Prime bundle. These are correctional exercise and mobility programs, and we bundle them together at discount. If you want to take a look at them, go to mapsfitnessproducts.com. The next question, this person says, look, when you're training athletes, what are your go-to exercises and mobility drills? So we talk all about athletic training in that part of the episode. And of course, we mentioned our athletic training program, MAPS Performance. You can find that one also at mapsfitnessproducts.com. The third question, this person wants to know about hernias, like what causes them, how to prevent them, like what's the deal? So Justin gets to tell us a great story of how he got his hernia.
Apparently, I'm the only one.
Yeah, it was bad pooping. That's what caused it. So we talk about all the stuff you do to prevent a hernia. And then if you get a hernia, how to work around it. And then the final question, this person wants to know about deodorants, shampoos, lotions. Like, can they adversely affect your body? A lot of people don't realize this, but the stuff you put on your skin oftentimes ends up in your body. Your skin is the largest organ in your body. And so you probably should pay attention to some of the chemicals in those products. And we do talk about some of our favorite companies that provide natural products in those categories. By the way, if you want to check out any of our other companies that we have vouched for, we've looked into, you can go to our page, mindpumppartners.com, and you'll see all the companies that we've worked with that we think are good companies to get products from. And because you listen to Mind Pump, of course, you get a discount.
Had our first mom and dad scare yesterday.
No.
What? Why?
Yeah. So check this out. So yesterday, I was here a little bit later, right? And Katrina calls me like around 4. And she's like, hey, when are you coming home? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting ready to leave soon. She's like, oh, okay, well, we're over at Almaden Lake. I'm like, what are you doing over there? And she's like, oh, we're scouting out. Because I guess they're doing that photo shoot later on today. And her and Rachel were scouting out places to go shoot for the apparel and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, yeah, I'm down here with Max and we're just hanging out and stuff like that. She's all, but if you're heading home, we'll head home soon. I was like, okay. So I hang on the phone. That was like in here. And I walk outside, get in the car. I'm not even a block down the road. And then she calls and I pick up the phone. It's on speakerphone in my car. And you could tell she's hysterically crying.
Oh, I hate that.
And the first words out of her mouth is, don't panic. Don't freak out. But Max fell and hit his head and there's blood everywhere. And that was what she says to me. And I'm like,
oh man,
what? Where are you at? Oh, I'm at Almaden Lake still. I'll drop you a pin. Relax. I hope he's gonna be okay. I think he's gonna be okay. He's fine. And I'm just like, don't freak out. I'm like, what do you mean don't freak out? You call me, you're crying, and you say he hit his head, and there's blood everywhere.
Oh my god.
Oh, dude. So
what happened?
I was doing like 120 down. You know, somewhere. I think Almaden Lake should take like 15 minutes to get there. I think I was there in 3.
Yeah.
And transported there, basically.
Yeah, I did.
I know what that feels like.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I know what that feels like. So what happened? Did he have to get stitches or something?
He didn't get stitches. And what he hit his head on, he was walking around and in the dirt area and stuff where there's rocks and sticks. And so, you know, I hear hit a rock. So I'm thinking like he fell and he hit his head on a boulder or something. He hit his head on like a little rock and the little rock like cut and punctured the top of his hairline. And you know, when you cut... Your hair.
Super vascular.
Oh.
Yeah, it bleeds a lot.
Oh, so he did. He when I got there, like, you know, there was dried blood all over his face and his shirt. I mean, it did look like a fucking scary scene. And I got there, and I guess some lady had seen her kind of freaking out, stuff like that, and it was really nice. She had a headband that she gave her, and she took the headband to put pressure on it to keep it from bleeding. Otherwise, she was trying to calm him down, calm herself down, stop the blood from bleeding all over the place. It's getting everywhere. She had her mask, and she was using her mask to do it, and the mask was all soaked in blood. And, yeah, I get there. And, you know, by the time I get there, I think Katrina, I had to calm down more and worry about than I did Max. Like, Max was like, yeah, well, he's already walking around. He's
fine
like,
now.
A bloody face and shit. He's got a head. He's got a bandana on. I'll show you a picture of him. Yeah.
So it wasn't a big cut then. It was just.
I mean, it's a pretty deep cut. It won't. It's deep. It's not long. So it won't need stitches because of that. Because it's not like a really long deep cut. It's like short and deep. So it like the rock definitely got in there, punctured it pretty good. It's definitely his face was scratched up a little bit.
Oh man.
And Katrina was really worried I don't know if I've brought this up on the show, but like one of the little battles that I'm having with like the family, and this is not just her and her family, it's my family, everybody is like, everybody wants to put shoes on him, and I'm always like, no shoes. Like, you can put them on for a picture, let them look cool or like that. Like, I'm fine with that. Like, and I'm a shoe guy, I like all that, but he's learning to walk right now. I'm like, so if we are anywhere,
get those feet strong.
Yeah, that's right. I said, I don't give a shit if there's gravel, dirt. I want that. If it's in those situations, those are where I want him barefoot. And so you could tell that Katrina was all stressed out because she had his like Nikes on him. And he never wears shoes outside. Like, I never, like, if he's.
So you think he tripped because of the shoes?
No, he just didn't have his balance. She knew it too. She said it. She's like, you know, she's like, I'm so fucking mad. And I know you're going to be pissed. And she goes, I had him in his shoes, and she's like, and I was trying to find out like what exactly happened. She's like, he just tipped over, you know, you know how he kind of walks and then he sees a stick and then he squats down, then he leans over. But she goes, you know, cause he had his shoes on, you could tell he didn't quite have the same balance, and he leaned over to get the shoe and just tipped forward, went forward and went face first, you know, into the dirt and the rocks and sticks, and then just hit a rock the right way.
Man.
And it opened him up. Yeah. And,
so, tell me that's not the worst feeling you could ever feel in your life.
It was right into my gut, like, blah.
There's stories, I mean, just thinking about that, I can invoke partially the feeling. And it's just, I mean, one time my kid, we were spending the night at my in-law's house because we were remodeling our home, and my son went to bed. It was a hot summer night, so we had all the windows open upstairs. And my mother-in-law goes upstairs, and then she comes down. She's like, where's your son? I'm like, what? And immediately, like, the feeling I got was, because the windows were open, He's a little guy. He's like 3 years old, 3.5 years old.
Yeah.
She's not where he was in bed. So I go upstairs, and it was maybe 15 seconds of not being able to find him. That's not long.
No.
But when you think—
it's an eternity.
That's forever.
When you think someone came in through the window and took your kid.
Well, remember—
And he was in the closet. He ended up— I don't know what he did. He fell asleep in the closet. But it was the worst feeling ever. And I remember feeling like I would be able to go through the walls if I wanted to, just to find where he was. You know what I mean? Terrible.
Well, feeling. I mean, I told you that story just the other day on the show, right? Where I was messing with his monitor.
Oh yeah,
that wasn't even 50. That was like 3 seconds. Not even 3 seconds. That was enough time for my heart to sink and shoot out of the chair.
Have you had a moment yet where you hear like a suspicious noise and you get that like protective instinct kick in real hard? Has that happened?
I haven't had anything like that, except for like what I just shared was when the monitor went off, and like, I mean, I did. I shot up like I was like ready to catch him somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I assumed when I didn't see him in the crib that he was already like crying, climbing out of it. And I'm in the dark, you know, so that I did have that initial shoot up like in this defense mode. Can I catch him if he falls? Even though I can't see shit, you know. Yeah. But I haven't had anything like that, and so far, all the little falls and bumps and loud noises and stuff like that, I typically am the one with Katrina that kind of calms her down. Like, he's okay, kids are resilient. Like, my sister Sarah, who is the oldest of the two youngest, when she was a baby, before she was 2 years old, we had her in the ER twice for stitches. Mm-hmm. The first one, when she's just like about Max's age right now, learning to kind of walk around, run around. We're all sitting at the kitchen table, and she was running around on the tile and just tripped and went chin first into the tile and split her chin wide open, blood gushing everywhere. And where we lived 45 minutes from the hospital. So, you know, blood gushing everywhere, rushing her to a hospital 45 minutes away. And then the scariest one that she did, which was not that much longer afterward, I think those stitches barely healed, like 6 months later. Again, we're at dinner and she's kind of walking around, and my parents had like a shitty old school plastic trash can, and she was, you know, took the top of the trash can lid off, just so happened to be a can of tuna that was there, and grabbed the lid and slit her wrist. Blood gushing everywhere. I think that was like 8 stitches for that one.
Man.
So like, I've been around for things like that, which I feel like—
Yeah, but when it's your kid.
Oh yeah, no, it's totally different, right? It's a different feeling than seeing your little sibling do it versus your son.
I was
your son.
Kid, yeah. I was, and now it's like full circle, right? With my youngest, Everett's been like—
He's a tornado.
Man, just giving us a run for our money. 3 times we've been to the ER with him, so over different things too, like him falling, hitting his head, splitting it open.
Marble.
That right there. When you tell me that story, man.
Worst moment of my life. That was one of those that like just haunts me still to this day. But and then like they're jumping in a trampoline, and Ethan accidentally jumped and landed on top of his chest, and it scared him so bad that his whole like skin turned ghost white. And so we looked at him, and he looked like a ghost. And it just like completely freaked us the hell out. We're just like, we got to take him somewhere, because I can't look at him like this. This like scares the shit out of me.
So you've had 3 visits with Everett, but none with Ethan?
None with Ethan.
Oh, see, that's so crazy, right? So
you
one kid,
he's super careful.
You think you get it, this is not going to be that bad because you have one kid.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I was like, just let them do their thing. They're fine, you know, and all this stuff. I mean, but Ethan does, he presses the boundaries with climbing. Like, he's the kid that's like up in the trees, like way too high.
Yeah.
And I have to check him every now and then, like, whoa, you know, it just like sends that, scare signal to me like immediately.
You guys ever watch that video? It's on YouTube where it's like dads, like, saving their kids from like immediate
they got
death.
Like superhuman powers.
They just grab their like they're gonna fly off the edge of the cliff.
Somebody, I think it was it Barstool? Was it Barstool or something? They did like a little compilation of that where they're like 15 different dads like catching the kids, like he'll be like on his phone or on the computer, and all of a sudden the kid's like 5 feet away and he falls, and dad grabs him with one hand.
It is weird because like, you know, when my kids were really little, like certain cries and stuff, I would sleep all the way through. But if there was a sound that my brain perceived as an intruder, I was up, awake, and aggressive before I even realized what was going on. I'd be up in the hallway with the bed sheets still attached to me.
See, that's weird, because I would
really hear... strange.
I would wake up from noises that were off, that were outside.
Yes.
But not like... Courtney would be the one that would recognize the different inconsistencies in the kids, like, and you'd hear in the monitor, or you'd hear, you know, just in the house, you could hear like wheezing or something. She'd be like, get up and dude, just, and I wasn't as perceptive.
I remember once when my son was two, he was at the top. I used to do this thing with him when he was little where he'd stand on the bottom, the last stair, and I'd say, jump, and I'd catch him. But one time, man, he was at the top of the stairs and he comes to the top, the very top of the stairs. I'm at the very bottom and he goes to jump because he thought, you know, like I would, and I grabbed the railing and instinctually launched myself up to the top to catch him.
Yeah.
Ripped the railing off the wall. I sprained half my body doing it, but I caught him. And, you know, there's a moment where you're proud of yourself, like, wow, I did that. And I'm like, oh,
yeah, I'm going to pay for this later.
They're like, oh, that hurt. Everything hurt.
I know. I caught everyone on the top on this hill, and he like lost his footing and then just like started to fall. And I jumped up the hill and just stopped him from falling headfirst down to the retaining wall. I was just like, ah.
Oh, man. Yeah. You ever think about the stuff that you did when you were a kid and you're like, I'm kind of lucky I didn't die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You know, 100%.
Yeah, there's a lot of things like that.
Oh,
like,
I almost sliced my big toe off going down a slide, like barefoot. Like, I broke my arm twice in the same year, same arm. Let's see, what else? I stepped on a nail and got, like, all this.
Didn't you get flesh-eating bacteria?
Yeah, flesh-eating bacteria all the way. And my dad's just, like, walk it off, you know? My foot, like, that's blew up 80s, like a beach right? ball, dude. And I'm, like, trying to walk back from the bus stop, you know, and just hurting dude, the entire way.
That literally kills people.
Oh, man.
Now, how are the two of you with – so here's something that, like, I find ourselves doing right now, and we're – Katrina and I are different, right? So he's finally starting to like walk a little bit, right? So he's definitely in that stage of looks like a drunk sailor everywhere he goes. He's not
funny.
Yeah, it's not stable at all, right?
Like they do look like drunk.
Oh,
adults.
It's hilarious. My favorite right now when I don't want to forget these memories because there's moments already that I think are probably burned in my brain that I think are hilarious. Where you know he's getting to walk, so like you know 15 steps in a row is like a big deal of like staying balanced. You know, so like we stand apart from each other and then get a little bit further apart. Come on, come to mommy, come to daddy. And he's at that phase where he'll be walking and he's all excited to come towards daddy, loses balance and then go left and he just stays left.
Yeah.
and just keeps going.
This is where I'm going now.
Yeah. And just goes the other direction, you know what I'm saying? Because that's his balance.
That's a good sign, dude. He adapts.
Yeah.
He adapts to adversity.
But what I was going to ask is, so I'm like, I like to, I allow him to do things. And Katrina's like, why are you teaching him to do that? It's like climb up and down the stairs or get off our bed and our bed's higher and taller than he is. Like, so my theory on this is like, listen, he's already trying to adventure and do this. I'm right here with him. Like, I want to teach him how to twist his body to get down, like to get down from the bed.
That's the right attitude.
Versus always catching him and going, no, and saying no. And then the one time you're not there and he gets down and he doesn't know how to get down.
No, that's the right attitude. Right. Like what you want to, if you have stairs in your house, you, when it's appropriate, you want to teach them how to do it properly. Not that you're encouraging them to do it all the time, but if you're not around,
right.
It's like, okay, here's
it's bound to happen. I feel like
here's
it's bound to happen one day. I'm not looking at him and he's going to go up and down the stairs or he's going to get off the bed.
Yep.
He'll crawl out of his crib like before you know it and like do some like death defying stuff.
Dude, it's okay. Here's a great example. It's like when you have a pool, right? So having a swimming pool can be very dangerous for children. So as soon as you possibly can, you teach them how to swim. That's the safest possible thing you can do instead of, you know, not saying that it's in replace of, because I think you should do this as well, but it's not like, it's like comparing it to fencing the pool off completely and being like, okay, we're safe.
Right.
Teach them how to swim. Or if you have a gun in the home, that's another one. Once they get old enough, you teach them how to operate it. You teach them gun safety. Those things statistically are far better in terms of safety and risk than the, you know, the other stuff. But mm-hmm. you know, you're as a kid, it's really the most dangerous time is teenage years because they have a certain level of freedom and you're not around all the time, right? You got to let them go do their thing. And I think when I was a kid, the most stupid stuff that I did that right now makes my skin crawl was when I was a teenager and maybe early 20s. It's, you know, the frontal lobe is not fully developed. You're full of testosterone and you literally don't understand. You just don't understand danger. You think you can do whatever you want. I think the way I drove when I first got my license, the things I did in my car.
Oh my God.
I can't even believe like what an idiot I was.
Oh, I know, dude. I was actually thinking about that because we went up to this like place up in, Ponderosa where I live, and there's like a couple trails that are like dirt roads off, and so my kids are now in like kind of, they were in this outdoor program, which was really cool. They'd like teach them all the stuff about like nature and all this, but I just remember when I got my license, like, because it's not a well-traveled road, like I would take this little Honda Civic and just like blaze through there and like do fishtails and everything, and like there's hikers like on these trails, dude, and I was like blazing like I was Dukes of Hazzard, you know, this thing. Like, what was I doing?
We used to play this, and this is terrible. I hate admitting this, but I did it and I was stupid. We play chicken in the car where you go down a dark road and you turn off the headlights.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And you wait for the first guy to be like, turn the headlights on.
Oh, yeah.
And literally you're driving in pitch black. You can't see what's going on.
Yeah, we used to race and do stupid shit.
Oh, my God.
Well, I grew up in the valley where, like, the fog is, like, crazy. And it was, like, a thing that when that fog rolled in during that season, like, you race in the fog. You can't see the end of your hood. And so it's stupid. Like, we thought it's a great idea to be passing each other on two-lane roads.
Oh, my God.
And that, and when it was, it turned into a thing, too, of, like, who had the biggest balls, who could pass 3, 4, 5 cars without getting back over in the right lane in this fog.
Yeah.
He did shit like that. I think back and I go like, what in the hell?
Bro, lots of testosterone without a fully developed frontal lobe is a recipe for disaster.
That is bad news.
That is a risky situation. Yeah. It's funny how like parents or dads especially are like, they fear, oh my God, I'm gonna have a daughter. Oh man, I'm really, you know, worried, and you know, she's gonna be a teenager, it's gonna be so hard. The truth is, teenage boys.
Oh yeah.
You have a teenage boy. You need to be careful.
That gets way too underplayed.
Way too underplayed.
Yeah, it's just, oh man, it's so funny. Just like you know that song, "Teenagers Scare the Living Shit Out of Me." It's so applicable. Teenagers scare the living shit out of me.
We're old guys now, aren't we?
Yeah, I understand it now.
Damn teenagers.
Hey, I know Justin, you're the big Joe Rogan listener. Are you listening to Spotify now? Because he's now officially over there, right?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to the one with him and Duncan Trussell. That's like his first one. That
didn't he have Miley Cyrus on?
I'm not gonna listen to that.
Hold on a second. Can I ask you guys a question? Why does
what does she have to say that's interesting?
Well, listen, why first of all, if you listen to the pod, don't look at her, just listen to her voice. Why does she sound like an old waitress at a diner?
Like, hey, you want that lumberjack slam? I got it for you in the back.
Her voice sounds like she's been smoking a pack of cigarettes a day for the last.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
15 years, you know what I'm saying?
Wrecked havoc on your voice.
Did you see the controversy around that?
Is it okay? No. So I know what you're going to bring up. Is that true?
Yep,
it is true.
Yeah. So they basically.
I wasn't sure if it was like a conspiracy thing because supposedly some of his like really hardcore conservative guest, and then like his Alex Jones kind of like people. They all of a sudden there's like X amount of episodes that
I saw that
disappeared.
They didn't post them.
Michaela Peterson, right?
Yeah, Michaela Peterson's episode is taken down. Which I didn't listen to her show. Yeah, I didn't listen to her show, so I don't know why.
But Jordan Peterson's episodes are in, right?
Are they?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, that's all right then.
Yeah, I don't know. I think definitely Alex Jones, and then what's that one other controversial guy?
Milos Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos. Like, those two for sure. Because and I think too, like being bought, I'm sure there's conditions.
Right.
Right. So, like, that, as much as he doesn't want to hype it up and say that it's like, you know, like, well, I have autonomous, you know, you don't have like full autonomy when somebody buys you for that much money.
Well, I'm glad you went this direction because I'm curious to your guys' opinion on like, are you pro it? Are you anti it? Like,
it's his show.
Yeah. Well,
he obviously agreed to it.
That's how I feel too. It's, and think about that. And this is the way I look at it. Like, what if
I don't like to be censored? We'll give you $500 million.
I mean,
okay, just a little bit though.
Yeah. You just take a little off the
sensor
top.
Light.
Okay, Well, I mean, imagine that we're Spotify, right? Mind Pump Media is Spotify, and we're at a place where we're acquiring talent. We look for other fitness professionals that have a show that we love 98% of everything they're doing, and we want to acquire them. We're like, you know what? We're going to pay this person, you know, a few, you know, $100 million to come over here, but. Let's make sure they leave out that episode that we didn't like they did and this one that they did really because it doesn't really align with the things that we talk about. I mean, I feel like you would do that. Somewhat. You know what I'm saying? It's your channel. You're paying for it.
Now, let's do this for a second. Let's play a game here. And of course, this is easy to do because it's not happening to us. So I'm sure our virtue is going to come out here. But
let's just
say that happened to us and a big company said, hey, we want to pay you tons and tons of money. We're going to bring all your episodes on, but these are the these episodes we're not going to put on.
Yeah, like not Joe Donovan.
So we're going to say, yeah, we're going to, well, that one.
Oh, really? Like, that one? Yeah, that's fine. Fine. No
problem. They're going to censor us to some extent. Like part of me viscerally reacts anytime somebody tries to censor me for anything.
Yeah.
So I don't know. How
I guess it depends for me. I guess I'm
on which episodes?
Yeah, yeah. Because personally,
for all the time you said group exercise must die. I
don't know. No, that's gotta stay. Yeah.
Beach Body's a big sponsor of ours. So you guys, we're gonna have to get rid of all these.
What? You will see. Okay, that I couldn't do that, right? Because then I would feel like I'm selling my soul. But if there was certain things that like we got into that I don't know, like that it would. I don't know. It would have to be. I'd have to see which ones it was for it to really bother me. Because if you cut out some things that were like that, we were just over the top at the beginning. We were so bad. Like we were so bad. No. And if they're like, we don't want to do anything before episode 200, I'd be like, okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
you know, say,
yeah, it's like we weren't even there yet. You know, yeah. We were just experimenting.
You can make it. You can make it like those never existed. Yeah. Yeah. How much do we need to pay you?
Really? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm okay with that.
That's great.
Yeah, I guess it would be. I guess it would be weird. Like I think maybe. Where it would get to me is like imagine this, and this is probably more likely that if that were to happen, we're playing this weird game, right? That doesn't exist. But okay, we get someone signs us, and they go like, you know, there's 17 episodes where you guys mentioned God, or you interviewed a priest. That we're gonna go ahead and just pull all that off.
Oh that would have problems with that.
Right. That would I would have a problem with that.
It depends. You're right.
Yeah, yeah. So
I think it does depend.
But if there was ones where they're like, here are all the episodes where you guys talked about doing drugs in your past. We're gonna go ahead and eliminate all that. I'd be like, okay, it's probably good.
There's 15 episodes. Yeah, yeah. There's 15 episodes left. Yeah. Out of 1,500.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Something like that. That'd be like, okay. That's probably a good idea, actually.
Yeah, you know, so here's the unintended consequence of that. Here's the inadvertent, you know, consequences of when, you know, because Spotify is a company and all they really care about is probably, right? I'm sure all they care about is let's get listeners, let's make money, let's be a successful company, which most companies, that's your number one priority, right? Yeah, aside, yeah. And you want to do it in your whatever your way is, but ultimately you want to succeed. But here's the unintended consequence of that. Look at the people that they cut out, right? What's his name? Alex Jones, for example.
Yeah.
He's like the biggest peddler of conspiracy theories that exist.
Right.
His most ardent followers, the people who follow him the most, all you're doing is reinforcing their beliefs. That's all you're doing. Yeah. When you censor someone like that,
yeah,
you just strengthen their idea that, oh, they're blocking the truth.
Yeah, yeah, the man's against him.
And the government. It's exactly what happened. This is why censorship, you have to be very careful, because once you start to censor things, oftentimes you strengthen them.
Well, his ratings went through the roof because they had to move him off all these platforms into his own website. So it's like his numbers started to shoot up because it's like, well, we really want to know what he has to say now.
Yeah, yeah. No,
you
totally.
Know, it's hilarious to me. If you give him so much more power and weight behind that when you censor him.
If you believe in a conspiracy, let's say you think, vaccines are a government strategy to inject us with microchips and they're all bad or whatever. Let's just say you believe that. And then when they censor videos that maybe they think that the videos are giving out misleading information on vaccine or whatever reason, right? Too controversial.
Yeah.
But they censor those videos. You who believe that, do you think you're going to believe it less or more?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're
you
right.
Know. You know what I'm saying? It's a game. You got to be careful.
Speaking of censorship, what happened over in Australia? That lady got arrested?
Yeah, this is – it's a weird, interesting –
Okay, so I think I read the article, right? Right. So she tried to organize a protest on Facebook, basically.
So, okay, this
against the lockdowns.
So in Australia, I've had people messaging me from Australia because I don't understand. I know they're considered a free country, but they don't have – in their constitution, speech is not protected like it is in America.
That doesn't sound very fair.
And by the way, in America is one of the few countries that has it explicitly protected, that speech,
yeah,
that you can't censor speech,
it's a
which
rare
is
thing.
I think is a very good thing, along with the Second Amendment. That's a very unique protection that we have. But apparently, the way Australia works is different regions can make pass certain laws. This segment of Australia, Victoria. They have very, very strict lockdown rules, very strict. And what she did, this is to my understanding, she posted to organize a protest against the lockdown. So she said, hey, no, nothing like violent, nothing like that. Just basically, we're going to organize to protest the lockdown. It's a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
The cops showed up at her house
yeah.
and arrested her in front of her kids. an hour before she was supposed to get an ultrasound, all caught on camera. So this has become a huge, like, big thing. Scary precedent. Scary. I mean, I know that's not America, but could you imagine if someone tried to do that here?
Oh, my God.
Arrest you for posting something on Facebook?
Yeah, it's wild.
That's very invasive.
Crazy. Yeah. And I don't know their politics over there, so I don't know how supportive or unsupportive people are of it.
Yeah.
But from someone like myself, you know, over here, and I see something like that, I couldn't imagine cops showing up and be like, you did a post on Facebook, we're going to arrest you. But like, excuse me?
This is, you said in Victoria, is that the name of the place?
Yeah.
So that's like, they're like the California of Australia over there?
I don't know.
I mean, I feel like that.
Yeah, probably.
We're probably as extreme that direction, I feel like, than any other state in our country.
Maybe, but
or maybe New York? Who else do you think?
Our leaders are, anyway.
Yeah, for our politics, but they would, till now, I mean, I haven't seen this yet, where you get arrested for doing a post.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, in fact, we protect protests here. You know, we've seen protests during lockdown here in the U.S. and they were allowed to go on, which I think you should.
You see that New York opened up gyms. Did you see that's happening?
I did. That's good.
Good.
What, not us though, huh?
No, man. I mean, you know, that Gavin guy, he's just...
What are we at now? How many months are we for like gyms being closed here?
I don't know. It's been a while. I think you can work out in gyms if they do it outside with certain things.
I don't know. I reached out to our buddy Adam Sedlak over at UFC Gyms to see, and I think we're going to have him come on and talk because I'm curious to what they're going through. I know they've been trying to do all kinds of things. I know he did a post not that long ago where he seemed...
He wants the recall.
Yeah, he was really pissed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was really, really pissed. And I think it's because they're trying to do all these different things to try and abide by the rules, and I think they're getting shut down or told no
a sad precedence, because if for anybody, like, okay, I'm a huge historian when it comes to fitness and especially resistance training, right? I love the history of it. California was the mecca. We weren't the original place to have gymnasiums. I think the East Coast had the first ones, but California is what really popularized, you know, lifting weights. We popularize the health clubs, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a part of California culture to work out. And they're what they're doing right now, whether you believe it's good or bad, I'm not going to make that argument. But it's what they are doing is completely decimating and destroying an entire industry. Like, they are...
Yeah.
They are hammered more than any other industry I can think of.
Have you guys seen videos of what LA looks like now?
No.
Oh, my God. It is really bad.
Why?
Beforehand, we had a really big problem here in California with homeless encampments. Oh. And, you know, and so with the mass exodus of, you know, businesses and people leaving, it's just turned into like a complete wasteland.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's just, you gotta really evaluate all these things and these policies and just, you know, look at, you know, what's happening as a result of it. I mean, as much as you want to stay safe, you gotta evaluate everything.
Yeah. I 100% agree. Hey, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, just to make a turn here, but did you guys know that you can increase your iron intake by cooking on cast iron skillets?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that, that's pretty cool, right?
No, that was so, one of the things that we did for Katrina when she was pregnant was we cooked the...
Was she anemic
Courtney
at all?
Turned me on to that.
No, I think at one point she tested like she was borderline.
Yeah, that's common with pregnancy.
It is, right? Which I thought was really weird because her diet, she eats a really high protein diet. But that was like one of the things that we started doing. Like we always already, you know, we eat meat on a very regular basis, you know. And we just said, okay, we'll just start putting it on the cast iron instead of doing it on the barbecue for her to hopefully bump some of her iron up.
Yeah, because Jessica, borderline anemia, and you can tell she'll get like out of breath or, you know, like lose her energy or whatever. And so she had to supplement with some iron, but supplementing with iron can be kind of nasty. It can cause like gastro issues. And so it's always better to get it from food. So the organ meats is one thing, but she's pretty adverse to organ meats. They don't taste. You know, I mean, most people don't like liver to begin with. Try and give liver to a pregnant woman, and I'm like sitting there. I feel like those old movies
really
where
testing your sales skills.
Huh? Oh, dude, I feel like those old movies where you're like mom is giving their kid like, you know, cod liver oil on the spoon. Like, it's like, nah. I'm like babe,
making it into an airplane.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, honey, you got to eat this liver. I'm like making it with bacon. I'm like, imagine it's something. I'm playing all these tricks. She's like, ooh.
Are you privy to like is the iron breakdown different in like grass fed beef versus regular? Like, I know like the omega profile, right, or the fatty acid profile is different.
Typically, the grass-fed meats are higher in certain nutrients. B vitamins may be higher in grass-fed. It's not a huge difference, but if you eat meat a lot, then it does make a difference.
Well, the biggest difference is the fatty acid profile.
That's where you see the bigger difference, right? It's got less of the inflammatory fatty acids and more of it. It's actually, okay, so grass-fed meat has a very nice fatty acid profile. It really does. It's very balanced if you just eat good quality meat. So, but what we've been doing, we got those fillets from ButcherBox, which are pretty good.
I just cooked those up last night.
Yeah, so she put them in the cast iron skillet, and what she does is she sears them on both sides and then puts the whole skillet in the oven, and they come out like perfect.
Yeah,
absolutely perfect.
Dude, it's been life-changing. Like, so when I was gone on my evacuation and all that kind of stuff and coming back, it was like our whole plan was to just like, we're just gonna cook everything at home. We missed home cooked meals. We were going out like all the time because we just, I mean, we had like a little tiny, you know, we might've had a kitchen that just had like a burner and, or like a microwave. And so it's like, we're not gonna cook in this. And man, you feel the difference. You feel the difference when you can bring back quality into your diet and like, you know, just really manage that again. I feel so much better in my stomach.
Even when you're trying to eat healthy and you eat out, it's still not the same because you don't know what oils they use.
Right.
And I had Brussels sprouts the other day. And I mean, Brussels sprouts are, you know, pretty healthy. They affect me pretty well. I felt bad after I ate them. And I thought they probably use a shitty oil to cook them in. I'm sure they're not using ghee or butter. It's probably some, you know, weird vegetable oil that's causing me to feel crappy. So,
speaking of our partners, I was, so right now we were putting together and probably, I don't know, after this episode goes live, it won't be long after, you know, Rachel and Eli have been putting together like this little, you know, reel of all the partners that we work with. And they asked each of us to do like a little excerpt on each one of them. Like someone say something real quick, like about all the partners. And we were all separate. So we weren't together when we did this. And I thought it was really funny when I was going over the edit, that when it came to talking about Chili Pad, that both Justin and I defaulted to the like saving marriage thing. So right away I got a chuckle out of that. I was like, that must be of like serious contention in his house because it is in my house.
Yes,
too.
It is, dude.
like the temperature thing is like a constant.
We can't be alone in that.
I hope not. I hope I don't feel like an asshole. Because I know. I was like, please tell me that there's other men out there that are wrestling with the same issue.
Yeah, am I that self-absorbed about my own like climate? You know, here I don't know, but yeah, it's definitely something we always battle. So I felt like bringing that up.
Men and women just feel different. You know, I think traditionally, unless they're pregnant, like my wife, but traditionally they like it warmer. Men traditionally, you know, like it colder in the room. So that's for sure.
For me though, it's not even like it's like I have to. Or like, I'll have
terrible sleep.
I'll have terrible sleep. Yeah. I mean,
I'm looking out for myself.
Well, I'm sure your wife feels the same way.
Yeah. On the cold side?
Yeah.
Well, that's where the contention is.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and I'm like, you can wear sweats and bundle up. Yeah. Like, I can only take so many sheets off and clothes off, and then I'm naked. You know what I'm saying? So
she slightly feels a breeze, you know, like across her like hair or anything. It's like, throws the sheets off. Like, I can't sleep.
Marriage is basically a series of small, like, annoyances that over the years become like big issues. You know what I'm saying?
It's like 11, 12 years in here. It gets more intense.
You ever do that? You look back on like a huge blowout fight and you're like, we fought over that? Like, really?
Yeah, funny you say that, because yesterday Katrina said, she goes, I love you. And we have this thing, I think I've talked about this before, like, you know, if one of us says that, you know, we ask, what are you thinking about or what made you say that? And she goes, I was just thinking about this morning how irritated I was with you. I was like, that's what made you say I love you right now? She goes, yeah, because I love that our relationship, like the things that, you know, irritate me or I get frustrated, they're so not a big deal at all.
Minuscule.
Right. So what happened was, it was like, I don't know, 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't sleep very well that night. Again, a temperature thing, actually. And you know, Max has been getting up. He's been sleeping through the night. But we put him down at 7:30. So that now means like he is ready to wake up at 6, you know, and I'm not up at 6 every morning. And so and right now she'll go get him and she'll like put him in the bed between us and just kind of let him play a little bit. And, you know, he'll lay down sometimes and have a bottle, but he's awake now. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like laying there and I'm like still trying to get like an extra half hour sleep. And he's like slapping me in the face and, you know, and she's like talking, saying like, oh, get daddy. It's time for daddy to get up. This is that. Like, and I'm like, I roll over. So my back is to them. I'm like, just give me 30 minutes, please. You know? And so I was like, and she made some comment. I don't know what she said. And I'm like, yeah, no, dad's tired. Right. And she was like, yeah, mom's tired too, right? So I got tired. And that was it. That was all that was said.
Yes.
And then the day goes. And then later on was when she said to me about, I love you. And she's like, no, it's just, those are the things that like we have it about. It's like, you know, I get it.
Dude, that's all marriage, dude. And yeah. those things.
But those things let, so, some people allow those things to fester and turn into like.
Into resentment. Just,
yeah.
It could easily turn into, oh, he doesn't consider my feelings. He doesn't think about how tired I am. Or right. you could think the same thing.
Right.
Why can't she just understand that? I feel? And then it turns into a big, you know, big. Yeah. And it depends on the circumstances, the context, and how often.
Yeah.
You know what happens?
Right.
That's you have to make peace that you're both different people.
Dude.
Like, you got to remember that.
Dude, Jessica.
I'm not going to be like you. You're not going to be like me. Let's just be cool.
Dude, I swear to God, that's the key to success.
Yes.
Is that you just accept.
Yeah.
You just got to accept shit. Like, Jessica consistently has to tell me to put things away or in the right place.
Yeah.
Now, from my point of view, right, if I want to be all, like, pissy about it, mm-hmm. like, man, you're so, like... Who cares if it's 4 inches yeah. to the right,
so tyrannical about
or where
this.
It's supposed to go? You know, like I put the salt shaker there. She says, move it 5 inches over there. Like, okay, what's the big deal? You know what I mean? Just who cares? Move it yourself. But in her, from her perspective, she's like, yeah, I do that 100 times. Like 100 times a day,
yeah.
I'm moving everything back to where it goes. I have to put the chair back in. I have to turn this. And so this can become a thing. But basically with that particular thing, I think she's accepted that she'll just have to tell me. And I've accepted that she'll just tell me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to get irritated. I mean, I'll get irritated, but I'm like, whatever. And then
if you've done a good job of dating or courting before you get married, then you should have, or at least I believe you should have, like, have learned all these things about a partner and just figured that it's a trade off and it's okay. Like, that's the way I look at it, is like, okay, so, you know, Katrina is, you know, the tomboy in her. She's not like the neatest, you know, person. For especially like girls tend to be neater than guys. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely the neater, clean person. And so it's like I can get frustrated with that all the time when she leaves her brush out or her side of the sink is a mess compared to mine. Like, and at the beginning it would bother me. And then I'm like, wait a second. Like, she's also this badass chick that'll be working till midnight and then back up at 5 grinding and is extremely successful at anything.
Yeah, you think of the positive stuff.
Right. And yeah. I go like, would I rather have the wife who, you know, stays home and actually makes the house immaculate all the time, but then she's not doing anything supportive financially, or she's not a killer herself in business. And right. I can't have these great deep conversations like when I'm trying to work things out with business because she has that mind. Fuck no, I'd way rather have that. And so I remind myself of like, normally-
If there's no dirt, there's no fun.
Yeah.
That's my rule.
Hey, dude, you hang out with old couples that have been married for a long time, and you ever hear them bicker and say things to each other? Nobody takes anything personal.
Yeah.
They totally understand and accept each other, and it's just the way it is. And you know what the irony of that is when you accept each other, if the person is ever going to kind of change, and it's usually from that perspective. It's never when they're getting hammered. You know what I mean?
Totally. And I, you know, to that point of talking about, I know she makes a conscious effort to do things because she knows that's something that I want, and vice versa, and things that I probably annoy her in. I know that those are things that she, you know, okay, and it makes me want to help out more or do more to be better because of that. And that's the way you handle that shit.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at it again, like it's about looking at more of the positives as consistently as you possibly can, because like there's always going to be those things. And I remember somebody telling me, like, it's only like 3 things that cause like a divorce a lot of times for people. And that's the only things they focus on. Meanwhile, okay, well, tell me what was going good and what were all the positives? Oh, there's too many of those.
Yeah.
You know, it's these things though. And that's it. We're done. You know, dude, and that's what you focus on.
You're trying to be with someone for the rest of your life, right? That's the goal. And you're trying to do it while raising kids, paying bills, all extremely stressful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're both fundamentally different. One's a male, one's a female, different experiences. You know, I mean, I couldn't do that with you guys, you know, let alone another, you know, it's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
The acceptance part is so important. Otherwise you're screwed.
Speaking of that, I got, yesterday I did my first DILF wisdom, right? So we're launching this little, we're kicking off this little series that we're going to do, and we'll see if it gets legs and people enjoy it. It seemed like when we posted on Facebook, like I don't know, a month or two ago. And I got a ton of response about this. And so, you know, I thought it'd be kind of cool to put this series together. The three of us have, over the last, 6 years, developed a lot of relationships with other dads in the space or even outside of our space that are very successful entrepreneurs. They're great dads. And I thought, oh, this would be kind of cool. Let's put together this little short series where I have a series of questions that I'll ask all of them, and then we'll drip them out. I don't know, once a month we'll do these, or we'll put them on IG and so people can watch. And yesterday I had Brendan for the first one, so I was already excited about it. But then after doing the first one, I'm like, oh, you know what? This is going to be interesting because I'm going to try and stick to the same series of questions and ask all of them that. So hearing how they respond, I don't want to spoil it. We'll leave it till people can listen to it. But, you know, there's questions that I ask that, you know, oh, I would have thought he would have answered totally different, or I wasn't ready for that. Or you start to see how people parent, because I get into some things like that, everything from nutrition to your partnership and, you know, how you navigate through that. Cool. Bad habits that you might have had from your parents. Did they bleed into you being a dad? Like, so there's a lot of really cool questions that we nailed down, and it's going to be a cool little series.
That's awesome.
Nice.
This quaz brought to you by Organifi. For those days you fall short on getting your organic veggies or whole food nutrition, Organifi fills the gap with laboratory-tested, certified organic superfoods to help give your health and performance the added edge. Try Organifi totally risk-free for 60 days by going to Organifi.com. That's Organifi.com. And use the coupon code MINDPUMP for 20% off at checkout.
The first question is from the Francesca Marie. What exercises would you recommend for a client who is looking to strengthen their joints due to the fact that they had previous injuries that were related to sprains and or strains around the ankle and knee area?
Mm. Yeah. Okay. So it's hard to give specific recommendations because we don't know why or how your knee is, you know, getting hurt and your ankle is getting hurt. But generally, you can do, I mean, honestly, general strengthening exercises are number one. So squats and lunges and your traditional strength training exercises done properly will do a lot to strengthen the muscles around the knee. And then as far as the ankle is concerned, I would work on both ankle mobility, but also calf exercises and exercises that strengthen the tibialis. And balance exercises to work on the muscles that stabilize the ankle. But, you know, I'm glad this person is asking this question, because that is the right question to ask. Oftentimes when people have a sprain or repeated sprains or injuries, they think do less rather than do more of
Let it heal.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, my ankle always gets sprained. I'm not gonna run anymore. I'm not gonna do that activity anymore, rather than looking at the root cause, which typically has to do with weakness, has to do with imbalance.
Well, this is really close to the episode, the single topic episode we just did recently, where we talked about like knee issues, right? Like normally that's like if you're getting like sprains and things going on the knee, that's normally a sign of instability in the ankle and hip. So right away I would look into like Prime Pro. I would be doing movements for my ankle from Prime Pro. I'd be doing movements for my hip. Those in themselves will already start to create some strength and stability, right? If you're doing all those movements properly, that'll help you. I also would recommend this person train barefoot. Like, there a lot of times weak ankles also are weak feet. You know, you don't have a great connection to the ground and your feet don't grip the ground. Good chances you could be over pronating and issues there. So barefoot training would be great, and like stability stuff. So I love to take a situation like this, take somebody, and the way we start our workout after we've done our hip mobility, ankle mobility, the first exercise might be something like a walking lunge. So you dress like what Sal is saying, traditional strength training, and then I'll do it with like stability and barefoot. So I'll have them barefoot, not super heavy or anything like that, because we're more about mechanics, and they'll be walking across the grass, and as they're walking, they do a nice big lunge, and then they stabilize, and they're barefoot, remember, and then they stabilize and lunge again, then stabilize and lunge again.
Yeah, but they got to do it right, though, because if their feet are weak and they go barefoot, they'll just pronate.
Oh, yeah. You got to really start slow and consider that triangle base of support. So you have that that pressure that's evenly distributed. So from your big toe to your pinky toe to the tongue of your shoe, basically you want to be able to apply pressure equally and distribute that throughout your feet and have strength in that. So, you know, you're not tilting one you know, side too much versus the other, but also like strengthening the forefoot. So being able to elevate your heel, you know, as you lunge and then have stability in that, and also doing toe squats and things like that as well. So just that way, you know, you're a little bit more comfortable with your anything you're doing as far as your lower extremities, and you have stability and support with that.
There's a great exercise to both your points right there, right? So you're right, Sal. If you be careful if you go barefoot, that you can overpronate. I mean, that's also why I throw the stability in there, right? So it's not about weight, it's about form. If you're barefoot and you balance and you stabilize between each lunge, it's hard to stabilize if you overpronate and you're off. So that's the reason for that. And then there's a specific exercise I like to do for this. And I think I showed this on my Instagram a long time ago. If you're curious about it, maybe I'll do it again. I'll try and describe it on the podcast as best as I can. So Justin was talking about the triangle, right? So you have the two points on your foot. So if
it's like the ball of the foot and the other side of the forefoot and then the heel, right? The triangle.
Yeah. So there's the triangle. So you're trying to think of that. So one of the things you can do, so you take a quarter and you put it underneath the fat pad, so the top of the triangle, right? And on the forefoot. And when you rise up to do calf raises, the thing you want to watch for, and the quarter is really just to give you feedback. You're trying to think, I want to push through that part of my foot. That's the whole point of the quarter being there, is just giving you feedback. So you drive up through the quarter, and when you do that, people that overpronate or have issues, weak ankles, they'll typically break out. So when they go do a calf raise, they stand up on their tippy toes, and then their ankles break out to the side. And you want to try and fight that and keep them neutral. So, and Justin alluded to doing like tippy toe squats. This is the regression before I take someone on tippy toe squats, because if you go right up on your tippy toes, you overpronate, you have weak
ankles. You're compensating. That's not good.
Yeah. Right. You'll break out. So what you do is you teach somebody to rise up on the heels, keep their heels in a neutral position, don't allow it to break out. Once they understand what they're trying to do there, then the progression to that is the tippy toe squats that Justin. Okay, now I know how to raise up on my tippy toes. I can keep my ankles neutral, not allowing them to break out. They're staying neutral and stable. Okay, now to progress that, I can drop down into a squat while I stay on my tippy toes.
Yeah, strength and stability, which is controlled by muscle, is what keeps your joints safe and healthy. I mean, when I was a personal story, right? When I was 14, I dislocated my kneecap on my left leg, and part of the rehab was I went to a physical therapist, and she had me do some very basic strengthening exercises. It was like a hip bridge and a couple other movements. And it helped, but it didn't fully help. And I remember I used to have to wear this brace with two hinges on the sides of the knee. And when I didn't wear it, my knee just felt very unstable. Well, finally, one day I got fed up. I mean, I did this for months. And finally, I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go to the gym and work out. Whatever happens, happens. And I started squatting. I started doing squats, and within weeks, my knee was back to normal because I got it stronger. Now, if you want more specific instruction, because again, it depends on who we're talking to. These are general answers. We have something called the MAPS Prime Bundle, and what you do is you go in there. It's got two programs, and there's assessments. You take the assessments, and then you can determine for yourself what specific movements are going to help you best. Because here's the thing with strengthening and stability and mobility. One big piece of that is it needs to be individualized. If you do the wrong mobility movement, not only can it largely be a waste of time sometimes, you might actually be making things worse depending on what your problem is. So it's really important that you do a self-assessment, which again, that Prime Bundle's got two programs and both of them have self-assessments. Look at your ankles. Look at your hips. Those are the things that tend to cause issues with the knee. Of course, you already said the ankle, so look at the ankle. Look at the feet. Do those self-assessment protocols in there, and then apply the right exercises for your body. You'll be blown away at how fast your joints start to feel stable and how quickly you start to eliminate the risk of injury, or at least the one that you used to have.
The more specific you can be, the better. And to be able to prioritize that now and not just kind of mask over it by getting back into your normal routine and workout and addressing it now while you have the opportunity, you're going to benefit from that, you know, long term.
Next question is from Abby Perler. When training athletes, what are your go-to exercises and mobility drills?
Oh, boy.
it's complex.
I know, it depends on the sport, right? Yeah. You're definitely going to do mobility for the whole body because you want to maintain strength and in, you know, far ranges of motion. Sports challenges your body in ways that are often unpredictable, right? So in the gym, everything's very controlled. You know what a squat looks like. You know what an overhead press looks like. And you can get strong in that range of motion. But when you're playing a sport, oftentimes you have to reach outside of those ranges of motion and twist and do things explosively. Mm-hmm. And this is where injury tends to occur. So mobility work, whole body mobility work is a must for almost every single athlete. I mentioned earlier in the first question, the Prime Bundle. That would be appropriate for athletes.
Yeah, that's the first place to start. And you're right. Like, there's so many more variables with the athletes that if you're just training somebody in the gym to get results and get muscular and, you know, it's pretty controlled, that's one thing. But, you know, in terms of any athlete, you really have to assess their overall movement in their ability to move properly and stabilize properly, and to be able to have strength and control. And so really, like, that's the prerequisite to any pursuit athletic wise. You have to be able to have like ultimate control of your body, because you are going to be doing things that are going to ramp up more explosively, and you have to be able to stabilize just as intensely as you are able to then explosively produce that kind of force.
Well, it's hard to answer something like this because every athlete's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Training a swimmer versus a wrestler versus a basketball player versus a football player, the type of drills that you're doing with them are going to be unique to each of them.
It's right? Even different from one football player to the next.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. So it's really hard to give, but I will give you somewhat of a specific answer that I think is common that I would focus on with almost all athletes, and that's hip stuff. Both good hip mobility and control, and then power and strength in your hips. Just because almost all sports require a lot of power to come from there. I don't care what you're doing, having powerful hips is going to transfer over to almost any sport that you play.
Yeah, and I would throw core in there, because when we're talking about hips from an athletic standpoint, we're talking about the lumbopelvic hip area, which includes the muscles that stabilize the hips, which is the muscles of the core. And if you don't have good, stable, strong core muscles, but you have very powerful hip muscles, you're going to blow out. Yeah, you're gonna definitely hurt yourself. So those are some of the things you might want to focus on. I agree 100% with Adam. It does depend on the person, and you know, it also depends on where they are at their in terms of how long they've been playing sports and their age. I mean, early on, it's very appropriate to just build general strength, right?
Yeah.
If you have a younger athlete and they just got started in sports, you want to build general strength, squats and deadlifts and overhead presses and rows and stuff that we recommend to most people. As they become more advanced, as the sports become more specific, then the exercises start to become more specific. Whereas a full squat might have been perfectly appropriate for general strength, a half or quarter squat might be better with an athlete who's, let's say, college age, who now is looking for a particular type of explosive power out of to jump or whatever.
Well, I think of the world class coaches that have been on our show and have talked about like how, you know, they would build the ultimate athlete, and how, you know, general GPP, I forget the acronym for that, but it's general play and progression. I don't know what the last one is, but basically it's overall understanding of the body. You know, we talk about proprioception a bit, about, you know, understanding where you are in terms of space and being able to react appropriately, but really having like that ultimate understanding of, you know, what the movement, how to navigate in every aspect of that movement is the first thing to really build off of. And then after that, we start to then build up the base strength. And so this is where we get into more of the, bi-loaded type of exercises.
Well, the general answer would be mass performance. I mean, that's, we address that in that. So if because we don't know who this exact athlete is, what we're training for, and all the specifics about them, it's hard to answer like a really good detailed question for this person. But the generic answer is, you know, a MAPS performance would be the foundation. All the movements and the things in there where we hit all the points of that everybody's making and addressing. And then beyond that is when it gets really specific, right? So that any person, any athlete would definitely get benefit by going through performance And then when they get the next level of benefit would be more specific to that person and their sport. But generally speaking, the things that we're all, everything from core to unilateral work to hip stuff, everything we're talking about, all of that is incorporated in proprioception. All that's incorporated in plyometrics.
We took all that into account when we were building and drafting that, because you want to like take those fundamental elements of what produces an awesome athlete. And that's, you know, to be able to have that foundational strength and explosive strength and be able to have strength in multiple directions of movement, and then have, power and power and explosivity, but under control. And then also have that endurance and that gas tank that's going to carry you through, any of those endeavors.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, if you were to follow, like Mass Performance is the best programmed general athletic workout you're going to find. And if you were to follow it alongside specific drills that your coach is having you do,
right,
now you've got yourself a great program. It also has mobility in it. But like, just to give you a breakdown, right? And this is kind of how we wrote MAPS Performance. If you're training yourself and you're an athlete, or if you're a trainer training athletes, you want to work on maximal strength. That's probably where you want to start. Then you start to move through multi-planar strength, right? Getting the person to not just be strong, but to be strong in different directions. You want to work on explosive power. That's extremely important in almost every sport I can think of. Being able to control your strength explosively will just make you a better athlete. And then ultimately, of course, you want to have some stamina. There's always a stamina element with most sports that I can think of. Even an explosive sport like football, that where they stop consistently and they do plays, you need to be able to repeat that over and over and over again. So there's definitely a stamina component.
And to add to that just a bit, because I've gotten a lot of questions from athletes about their specific sport, how they would use MAPS Performance. So on the mobility days is really where you want to be able to upkeep your skills training. So every sport has specificity to it in terms of like movements that, you know, are really specific to that sport. And to be able to keep and sharpen those skills is very important. So to add those within those mobility days, I would highly suggest while you're also doing the weight training.
Next question is from Nathaniel L. Watson. Have you had a hernia, and what is the best way to avoid them?
Justin, you have, haven't you? I've never had one.
Neither have I.
Yeah, I did. And I don't, I mean, for me, it was just excessively, I was picking, I wasn't deadlifting. Like I wasn't even introduced to deadlifting until later on in terms of
this was sexually transmitted. No,
that's not. That was the other thing you had.
Oh, that was the lump. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, but I didn't have it. It wasn't like an extreme one. Sometimes you need surgery for this, and like, so basically like your intestine's almost pushing its way out. Right. Mm. And so it's not something to mess with. Obviously you need to, you know, rest and recover and allow your body to, you know, fully like heal. But for me, it was just more of a pressing thing where I knew that, it was very painful. It was a very painful experience for me. And it was like, I'm pretty sure it was due to improper technique, lifting something super heavy and awkward.
Yeah. So a hernia is essentially when an organ or sometimes deep muscles poke through usually the core muscles of your body. So intestines can come through that. Your stomach can come through that. And so if you think of your core, right, there's layers of core muscles and they surround your internal organs and they act like a shield and they stabilize the body. Well, sometimes there's a tear that can happen and the organs can poke through that. And if it's not, you know, treated, sometimes it can continue to get worse. And like Justin said, oftentimes it requires surgery. Believe it or not, some of the more common reasons why people get hernias, of course, we all know about lifting improperly, right? Straining. Constipation. Constipation causes hernias for a lot of people, that constant pushing and straining.
Pushing that big old log out.
Weakness, weak core muscles. Of course, it's usually in combination with weak core muscles. Another way people get hernias, coughing or sneezing. So you got weak core muscles. Mm. You might be overweight on top of it. And then you cough or sneeze and then you get a tear and stuff pokes out. Being overweight can do this as well, especially in men because we carry more visceral body fat than women do. So visceral body fat is the body fat that is deep. It surrounds the organs and it tends to be under muscle. So it's like, you know, do you guys ever have a man in your family, uncle or whatever, they get this big belly but then you touch the belly and it's hard. Mm-hmm. You're like, what the hell? You know, I had an uncle like that. Like he had a big old belly.
Rock solid Buddha belly.
Yeah, he'd eat all these like bowls of pasta and he'd be like, but it's not fat. Come here. And you'd hit it and you'd be like, why is it all like hard? It's because the fat was underneath the muscle and it was pushing everything out. And what happens when that happens is think of your hamstrings, for example. Imagine putting your hamstrings in an extreme stretch. How strong are your hamstrings in that extreme stretch? They're very weak. When your core muscles are pushed out and stretched, they lose strength. Look, right now my wife's going through this. She's pregnant, third trimester. The baby is growing. This has to happen in pregnancy. It's a normal process. But because her core muscles are so stretched out, she has very little core stability compared to how she had before. So this happens when people are overweight, and then you throw on top of that, you go lift something or you cough or you sneeze or you're constipated, now you have a problem. So best ways to avoid a hernia, have good digestion, regular bowel movements that you don't struggle or strain to pass. I hear you laughing, Justin.
I'm laughing because I'm sure that was a factor.
Yeah.
Thinking back.
So
I didn't have the best diet.
There's that. Make sure your body weight is appropriate, allowing yourself to get really overweight. People who are really overweight have a much, much higher rate of hernias than people who aren't. So maintain a healthy body weight. And then when you work out and lift, make sure you have good core stability. But here's the deal, okay? Because I've had people tell me that they're afraid to lift heavy because they don't want to get a hernia. Yeah, if you lift heavy like an idiot, if it's like saying I'm scared to hurt my back if I lift weights. Yeah, if you have bad form, if you're not worried about mobility and stability and you just go lift haphazardly, the risk is high. Same thing with a hernia. If you lift weights properly, controlled, stable, good core stability, the risk of hernia is very low. And not only that, but because you're lifting weights properly, your risk of hernia long-term is lower.
Yeah.
So because you're fit, your risk of hernia is a lot lower. Now, you do see this sometimes in advanced lifters, but you're talking about extreme examples. It's like, it'd be like a car, you know, twisting its axle in half. Like, when does that happen? Well, yeah, right. If you put 600 horsepower
I was just talking about this with like those nitro drag racers, right? Mm-hmm. Like when they can't even maintain the engine. It's just so much explosive pressure internally there that it's like it's hard to manage it. So
yeah, you don't want to look at the extremes and then be afraid of what might happen at the extremes. I mean, if you really want to get scared, you know, something that can happen to Olympic lifters.
Oh my God.
This is legit. This. Like, they generate so much force and power that some of them have actually blown
tube sock.
Their insides out of their butt.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
this has actually happened.
It's happened.
You know, and so those are extremes.
Don't YouTube that.
But please don't look that up. I did that once. It was terrible.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you work out properly, good stability, good form, the way that we promote all the time on the podcast, if you have a healthy diet, you're not super constipated, your risk of hernia is lower than somebody who just doesn't do anything at all and just lives the standard American life.
Next question is from Ty Leash. Can you guys talk about how deodorants, shampoos, etc., can adversely affect our bodies and what brands you guys recommend?
Dude, I just read an article.
We've been thinking about this.
This is cool. This question just came out, right? I just read an article about this. It was a case study of this boy who went to the doctor because he had really bad gynecomastia. So gynecomastia is the development of breast tissue in men or boys. Now, it's not super uncommon for a teenage boy to develop some gynecomastia. This happens because their testosterone levels spike up and some of that testosterone gets converted to estrogen. So having a little bit of that, super normal. Actually, most teenage boys will have a little bit of it. But this kid apparently had a lot of it, and they couldn't figure out, you know, what was going on. And the doctor was actually wise enough to look at the products that the kid was using to wash his hair with, his soaps, and his acne washes and stuff.
Really?
They did. And they took them all out, and the gynecomastia went down. And that's because a lot of these chemicals that are in cleaning products, because we don't think of our skin as an organ. It's actually the largest organ in the body.
Yeah.
And we also don't think that stuff we put on our skin will actually get absorbed and affect the insides of our body. But it does. Cosmetics, shampoos, soaps, lotions, Things you put on your body, things you put in your body, feminine hygiene products like tampons and, you know, maxi pads, those things can sometimes have chemicals in them. And over time, they do get you absorbed by the body. Sunscreens is another one. And a lot of these chemicals act like weak hormones in the body. They're called xenoestrogens. And that means that they, the way that they're shaped, that they can actually affect hormone receptors in the body as if they were almost like a hormone. Maybe not quite nearly as powerful, but over time, you keep rubbing this stuff all over your skin or you wear makeup every day or whatever, slowly you start to see these hormonal
really
effects.
It's the volume, right? It's that long-term exposure to these chemicals. It's not like the one-offs are going to do that much damage, but if you start to think about all these different products and like how they all have different chemicals and they all interact with your body, it's just a matter of time to where like all this volume is going to add up to something problematic.
Well, here's another one. This is one of those things that's there's division in our space, right? You're like the woo-woo side where you're like so anti all, you know, deodorant has aluminum, shampoo, makeup, all this stuff is so toxic, so poisonous, so bad and so extreme. And then you have the other side that's like, oh my God, you're splitting hairs. That bullshit's not going to change the difference. And really it's there. The way I look at it, because I had a friend of mine, they were asking me this, right? They were talking about like, Adam, do you think it's really that important that we change our shampoo or our deodorant or soap? Or and if it's, the way I look at it is like, how hard is it for me to switch over to something like Dr. Squatch, right? Which is a brand that we have been looking for over a year. We've been chasing these guys down, and it's a all natural soap, and the smells are phenomenal. Like, I love the soap. It's a great soap. It's not a hard leap for me to go from Irish Spring to going over to that because it smells great. It still works as just as well. And the fact that I'm doing something that's all natural, that's not loaded full of these chemicals, why the fuck not? And the same thing goes for these other things like shampoo, laundry detergent, like, you know, our other partner. This was another reason why we were hunting down Public Goods for as long as we were hunting Public Goods down, is they have that for all your house supplies. If you're spraying it on your countertops, if you're putting it
washing
inside
your hands.
Yeah, washing your hands, your laundry detergent, your shampoo. Like, if it's not a hard leap for you to go from using a shampoo or a laundry detergent that is full of chemicals versus one that is not, why wouldn't you? It's not changing. It's not interrupting my life that bad that it's that big of a deal.
And now we have companies where those products aren't even like way more expensive. It used to be way more expensive.
Right. They used to be the big barrier.
Yeah. Well, okay. So here I'll make, a controversial statement. Okay. Now, this is considering that you're eating the right amount of calories, macros, and you're active. Those are the most important things, by the way, okay? That you do, you know, get good sleep, those kind of things. The chemicals that you need to pay attention to, it's actually more important, believe it or not, that you pay attention to the chemicals in your skin products and your makeup than it is your food products, okay? And I know that sounds controversial, but here's why. The regulations that go into the chemicals in your food are way more stringent than the regulations that go into the products that you rub onto your skin or put on your face or use it for feminine hygiene is a big one. Do you know that tampons, they're regulated like a textile? You know that they're not even regulated like a food, because it's not a food, but you're putting it inside your body and those membranes absorb. They're very, very porous and they're like their mucous membranes, right? They absorb quite a bit, but they're not regulated the same way. I'll give you another great example. I talked about this on a show recently. Sunscreens. Mm-hmm. Sunscreens, the chemical sunscreens, the FDA says that there's a certain level of these chemicals that can go up to your, that you can have in your body, and above that is considered not safe, okay? They recently, that's after these sunscreens have been on the market forever, recently did studies and found that people that use these sunscreens, they had amounts of these chemicals stored in their body that were something like hundreds or thousands of times higher than the upper limit that the FDA gave them. So these things are just not regulated nearly as stringently. And so you combine all these things, you're gonna have some effects in your body, and some of these are hormonal. And look, I'm not gonna make this as a direct connection, but here's what we're seeing, okay? Testosterone levels now for a few decades have been dropping in men. Everybody's like blown up. They don't understand what's going on, but it's true. A 30-year-old man today's testosterone levels are as low or high or whatever as like a man in his mid-50s, you know, in the 1970s. Like that's a big, it's a consistent drop. You know, estrogen, progesterone levels, it's very common now for women to have those out of balance. Fertility issues mm-hmm. are common in both men and women. And a lot of people think that some of it or a big part of it has to do with all these chemicals that we're exposed to all the time, just over the course. It's not going to hurt you if it happens once or twice, maybe not even for a year. But think about your favorite brands of shampoos and skin lotions and makeup.
Well, I just
and stuff that you've used for decades, right?
Yeah, you mentioned makeup. I mean, I just recently even found out, I'm sure you guys already know this, but like some of the makeup that was actually had radioactive materials in it to where it was like eating away at people's flesh, and they finally were like, oh, let's take this off the market. It's probably bad.
Wow.
How did that company stay around?
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, it was absurd. I couldn't believe it.
This is why, you know, comic books lie to you, don't they? It's like anytime you have radiation on you in comic books, you just get superpowers.
Yeah.
Why didn't that work?
I really think it's the onslaught of all of it, right?
Totally.
If you were to study one, and that's why they can get away with being on the market, is that if you studied one of these things for a 3 or 6 month period of time, said, oh, this person used these tampons every single day for 6 months, we don't see enough of this, or so, oh, they're fine, it passes. But when you start looking at all the things you use,
shampoo, toothpaste, deodorant, lotion,
and the assault of all of them,
pelting yourself,
you got to think that there's got to be a compounding effect. And again, if it's not costing me a fortune, it's not changing my lifestyle that much that it's that drastic of a deal, why the fuck not? That's the way I look at it. And you're right. Like when this first came out, and all the people that were making products like this were private. They were small, ma and pa, and so they had to charge an arm and a leg.
It all smelled like patchouli oil.
Yeah, it was exactly. No, so it was like, God, this smells gross, and it's expensive as shit. Like, I'll take the aluminum in my deodorant. I'll take the fucking whatever the Irish Spring soap if it's got some chemicals. But now where we're at, the market demands push this, where you have big companies like Public Goods and Dr. Squatch that are able to deliver a product like this that's all natural and it's healthy and it's not assaulting your body weight and it's not super expensive. So that's my opinion on somebody who's considering that. It's like, if it's not that big of a leap, why wouldn't you do that?
Absolutely. Look, Mind Pump is recorded on video as well as audio. Come check us out on YouTube if you want to see our faces, which are made for radio.
You know you do.
I warned you. You can also find all of us on Instagram. You can even find Doug, the producer. By the way, Doug does a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff on Instagram, so you can see what we wear on our bottoms while we're recording, because you don't see what's happening with our pants.
Whoa.
Yeah, it'll trip you out. You can find Doug at Mind Pump Doug on Instagram. You can find Justin at Mind Pump Justin. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal, and Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.